Zombie used to say Mr. Bula. But when you came back, he called him Roy. Roy. Hey,
welcome.
I'm very proud of you.
When other people in Cedric is in the whip party, and then they still get the because we only informed them this morning about this extraordinary meeting.
At this place.
About this
today.
Today.
At this place today.
As you go on the meeting.
As we settle down, let me welcome Chief Activity, the President and Chief, to introduce the other team members of the board, and thank the Deputy President in for arranging this meeting.
This is the President and Deputy President who explained this to
me. You have to go through a process which explains you, but now it's a guest.
But for the purpose of those who are lost, the chairperson of the Social Security on the spot, Mr. Contella is next to me here. This is the real title of the Deputy President. The group CEO at NDC.
Real time,
I don't know whether you suppose the camera or here or whatever. Remember, thank you very much. I think all of you and those who will be joining us are interested to know what's happening around the PSL. I think this is super important.
The background,
not me. We'll give it a title after we sort all the things. Then we'll call it a debacle.
Really, you get certain growth perspectives.
representative of the board will give you the broad brush. I will take you in some kind of detail into the history of the matter, just so that you understand it. Then Buddha will deal with some of the sexual issues, because there's a whole lot of, there's been a lot of sexual distortions and misinformation, and you know, which, as you said last week when this so-called deal was done, but the main thing was really to mislead the public, and that has been happening a lot. And we just want, hopefully people will ask us some of the, what we call frequently asked questions about this matter, and I have no doubt that we'll be able to understand it. So, if I could, we hope to go back to Mr. Chikamji, just to give a location of where that should be.
Thank you.
I see the
record. Oh, yes, I forgot to mention that Mr. Chikamji, in his other life, 1 or 10 years ago, was the CEO of the TSI.
Chairman of the
So you have a unique during my time of the Chamber of Flowers.
Thank you for the opportunity to all of you. We appreciate the fact that you've given us your time this morning on the TV schedule. We consider it important, and we think it's important not only from the point of view of OKGC and TSL and Super Sport, we think those are the players. The bigger interest, the interest of the country. I think that to me is the underlying principle that we have to share with you this morning. Last year, the CEO, Mr. Advocate Mbosi, advised the board of the SADC that negotiations had to commence with the PSL in terms of the existing contract. And we wanted to draw the mandate from the board to proceed with the negotiations. The board took that decision to give him the mandate, came back to us and then indicated that there was now a possibility of finalizing of getting to agreement on the principles of the contract, but we needed parameters in terms of the amount of money that we were supposed to get. And he was given that authority as well. This happened around towards the end of the year, and then subsequently a whole series of developments took place, which Gary will take you through in detail. The upshot of all that was that there were back and forth negotiations which seemed to stumble on one important issue, that is, the PSL was never ever prepared to say to the SADC, this is what we want. In the past, you paid us X rand for 75 years, we now want 100 years, and this is the amount of money that we want. That was never ever put on the table. Instead, the game that was being played was, you must tell us how much you want to pay. And clearly the SADC were not in a position to do that, because the history of the negotiation in the past has been that whenever a figure has been agreed, the TSL has limited the number of games that the SADC can sell about. So that is why there was no possible means of evaluating the amount that we might want to pay and the amount that they have. This eventually culminated in a dispute being declared in terms of the existing agreement, and that of course was in the state for arbitration. While the arbitration proceedings were going, there were a series of interdicts that in fact were explained to you, the reasons for the interdicts and so on, and suddenly out of the blue, we were told, like everybody else in the country, that there was a fixed signing ceremony campaign glasses being exchanged on Thursday last week. So Super Sport had now secured this contract with the SADC. No courtesy was even extended to the SADC that, look, this is what we are getting from Super Sport. This is the last opportunity for you. Match it or talk to us and we can do it. There's nothing like this stuff. We got the information just from everybody else who knew it. The board met yesterday and of course has released a statement which most of you may have seen. But we had a copy of the statement we released from the name of the chairperson, our chairperson, Sunday. The reads as follows. The SABC board is deeply concerned about the CSR's recent announcement of its intention in breach of contract to award professional football rights to a paid television channel. This announcement is a clear legal infringement of the SABC's rights. Moreover, it is completely at odds with an unspoken but powerful tradition of the right of public access to football in politics. As the nation's premier and only public broadcaster, the SABC clearly cannot accept the situation. Football in South Africa, unlike most countries in the world, has a significant as a source of national interest. It is a source for social cohesion and immense national pride. Our public, especially poor communities, must have full access to watching and listening to professional football. This has been a right which the SABC has promoted on behalf of the nation's objectives. The board calls upon the leadership of the CSR to urgently meet with the SABC management team to negotiate a settlement to the dispute. We fully support our management team in the efforts to represent the best interests of the public broadcaster. Once we are quite clear about our legal rights and will vigorously protect the sanctity of our legal contract, the board wishes to see this matter amicably resolved such that the nation's only public broadcaster can exercise the constitutional mandate of promoting public access to sport. The SABC and the PSL have a joint and primary responsibility for promoting football in the collective interest of our nation. We firmly believe that this common agenda is shared by both the SABC and the PSL. This alone should be a sufficient motivation for getting both parties together in earnest to seek a mutually rewarding solution. The board also wishes to thank the South African public for its widespread and unprecedented support. Apart from countless individual voices, we have also been heartened by the particular support shown by the organizations such as the ANC, the SACP, COSATU, Concerned Artists, Communicated Workers Union, the Freedom of Expression Institute, as well as important sections of the print media. This solidarity has been a clear message that professional football must be returned to the eyes and ears of the nation. I think what is important in this statement is the whole matter which seems to have not been addressed by the so-called deal with Supersport, and that is listenership of the radio. Supersport has no access to it. Nothing has been said about it, conveniently, and we have not even been approached to this stuff. So I think it's very, very important. I think the last paragraph is significant because, you know, since the time I've been on the board of the SABC, one of the people who have come up in support for the SABC, this particular issue, the Freedom of Expression organization. As long as I can recall, they have continually attacked the SABC for various issues. And this is the very first time that I know of that they have actually come out in support of our stand in this matter. So it does tell us that allegations that we are not doing what we should be doing and so on are clearly negated by the kind of support of the matter. Thank you. I think it's important to probably take you through the details of how the event took place from time to time. I can also add that I did have a meeting with Dr. Ivan Kolga on Monday evening at his BS, where he tried to tell me effectively why the SABC through CEO was wrong. He was just trying to tell me that we were wrong at the end, but the meeting didn't go any further.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm sure we will engage afterwards for the full.
Thank you, Mr. Chief.
I think I'll start where the company left off. I will deal with the first, some of the factual issues and some of the misconceptions that have been in the public arena in the past few days or so. I think it's fair to say that one of the things that is being said that we've been involved with for 9 years, that's something that was said in the paper,
And those people are not talking about the formation of the CFR. The truth, I think, as everybody knows, is that the history of the AEC in football goes long before that. I think that, speaking for myself, I can remember watching in 1978 a final between Kaiser Chiefs and Highland Park from the local community. Imagine we arrived last week and people who want to buy somebody's brand. It's a fallacy. This is a brand that we have built together with the PSL and the predecessors over a long, long time. I'm sure it would be fair to say that millions of South Africans who are football lovers have never put a foot in the stadium, in any stadium. And the only contact with football is through the English. Now, the next point I want to make is that another mistake that gets made is to equate a public service broadcaster with all these other commercial broadcasters. That can never be. The very reason why we have a public service broadcaster in a country is so that it is not driven purely by commercial, profit motive, but it's also driven by the general interest of the public. And that happens in many countries that we speak of in law. And the key to that is the fact that in the eyes of a public broadcaster, all the citizens are equal. So whether they are poor or rich or tall or black or white, they're all equal. Whereas if you have operation on a profit basis, you obviously have to weigh people and say, okay, I want to target those ones, they need them because they have a lot of money and the others that don't care about it. We don't have that like that. We have to treat every citizen as an equal. Just like when you vote as a citizen, if I have my friend here with 10 billion rand in the bank or you are unemployed, you can't exactly the same. So the commercial players, whether they are super sport or ETV, will always be driven by something other than the general interest of the And that's fine. I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. So this really, if anything, is the beginning of what you might call the privatization, the mass privatization of people, which will be a problem if it allows to take root in this particular country. Maybe in other countries it's fine. But here we're talking about the developing country with all the problems. But remember here, I don't have to remind you of but I will come back to the issue of the public interest. I just want to show that I'll deal with what I call the factual issues, the contractual issues. But I want to show that we've been portrayed as if we're saying that if we lost something on the negotiating table, and then we'll go out and rally and say, oh, well, the public that. I will show you in this section that the first issues that we dealt with actually can be dealt with without even invoking the issue of the public interest. And then I'll come to public interest. Now, what are the contractual issues that we are discussing here? We entered into the current contract, which was signed in 2004, but in fact it covered the season between 2002 and 2007. It's a five-year contract. That contract has got, I will not read it out, but I've got here, I'll point out the relevant clause. It's clause 4 of that contract. In a nutshell, it says that at the termination of that contract, of that five-year contract, what happened now. 6 months before the start of that contract, the what either party will require the other party to negotiate in good faith and the landlord will negotiate in good faith and exclusively for up to a period of 2 months. The terms and conditions with respect to the broadcasting rights after the expiration of the term of the customer. That's the first thing that must happen. So, to put it simplistically, they are supposed to, or we are supposed to say, look, we're now starting an exclusive period for the term of the customer. And then it says, the parties shall have until the 1st of March 2007. Or facilitate the interest of having an agreement upon in writing to conclude an agreement. During this period, the TSL shall not approach negotiations and shall not solicit from any third party any offers in respect of the broadcast rights which are under discussion with the agreement. Okay, so that's the second thing. It's the exclusive period during which they are not entitled to go outside. And then the third one is what we call the matching right. In other words, what this says is that there's another exclusive period. If we don't reach agreement, then they can go out to the open market. But even after going to the open market, if they get a price, we have a right, a matching right. They still have to come back and say, okay, we didn't agree 2 months ago. We went out to the market, we got 1 billion or whatever it is. Can you match it? And only if we cannot match it, then they can conclude that. Simple, quite simple. This is not unusual. This is standard. This is a standard contract in broadcasting. Whether you're buying movies or this, that, or the other, you always have this, what you call it, the empty price. It exists in all the contracts we have with FIFA, with CRICEF, with the IOC, or all sorts of bodies. So it's not something unusual. So far, so good. So, in line with all this, we mentioned the TSL on the 5th of December. There were a few correspondents and meetings that happened. But the first meeting that I was involved in was on the 5th of December. On that day, we agreed that we would reduce the you remember I mentioned the 1st of March. We said that page can be brought forward to February, end of February. So we agreed that we will have those negotiations hopefully to be finished by the end of February. I wrote a letter on the 6th of December, which is the day after, where I said to them, I want you to confirm that this is what we are doing. So the SABC and TSL will hold discussions and negotiate in good faith exclusively up to the end of February or earlier. Only after or at the end of February will the TSL be entitled to approach or negotiate with any other broadcasting on the spectrum of the right. And then thirdly, the TSL will give the SABC an opportunity to match any offer made by any party on the spectrum of the broadcaster until the 16th of April. The SABC will have until 6th of February to match and so on. The SABC will iterate its commitment to conclude a partnership that goes beyond a near business, but one that's going to support partners and leaders in that specific field and so on. So, Philip wrote a letter on the 8th of December saying, we agree with the first set of your letter and an accurate summary of the agreement which we should not have a meeting of So that's where the parties stood. Now, one of the things that was agreed there was that our mission demander would say the head of sport and Trevor Phillips will then work out the modality and of how we get to that stage of the end of the day. They worked out between themselves a lot of correspondence which I will not go into. But the most important part is that on the commander wrote to Trevor Phillips on the 5th of February. And one of the things he said was, okay, this is now the timetable of how we're going to proceed to the to the end of February. And the most important part, he said, on the 16th of February, he set up what how the he said on the 16th of February,
The TFL will formally deliver the proposal to the SABC on the proposed right structure and cost in relation to the package and packages. That's very important. The TFL will deliver on the system, the package, and the price of the package. So I finish the following day, right? I left a thing and I confirm the timing as outlined. Including that, that's why it's not in the system. Okay, so, once again, so far so good. We're expecting now just the price and the package. What I call the first, I will detail to you what I call the head of 10 phase from the PFL. The first head of 10 phase was that on the 16th of February, contrary to this, they delivered something called an invitation discernment, which we call an ICT credit, on the 16th of February. CSL will deliver a proposal, the so-called package and price and cost. But on the 16th, they bring something else. On that day, exactly on that day, we're waiting for them to do what they're doing. Okay? They come with this funny thing called the ICT invitation discernment. Now, in a nutshell, the invitation to tender cannot be described as negotiation. It's, as you know, the tender, you say, look, yeah, you tender, take it or leave it. It can never be described as negotiation. Moreover, this ICT that they bring changes the rights fundamentally. You must remember that our agreement is to have the rights, the same package of rights, to be renegotiated. They change all the rights, they take away, I'll just give you examples, they take away our copyright, they take away our rights to sub-license, and so on this non-negotiable basis. Now, I learned, this was, this thing arrived in our office on the 16th, I think the 16th was the Friday. So I only got to see it on the Monday, which is the 19th. And please forgive me, this letter is not long, I'll read it and then I think. Just to show that these are not things that suddenly you lost a contract last week and then you think, oh well, what am I going to say now? On the following day after I received this thing, I wrote them the following letter. One, with respect to the previous social league invitation to send a document to that at the SAC.
I'm not a very teacher. Okay. I want to ask you, people are asking me, yeah, I must be able to give. Now, the letter that you sent to them was on the 17th or
on the 9th?
When? On the
19th. No, so on the 20th.
The 20th.
You see, this date, when they deliver this thing, is the Friday.
On the 15th.
And I was just in the office. So I was told that Monday the 19th, I get to the office and I see this thing. On the 20th, this is the following day, I write them this letter. Okay? I refer to the Premier Soccer League invitation to tender document delivered by the SABC on 15th February and received by me on 19th February. That's number one. Two, we must state that at the outset that the SABC is disappointed that the PFL has made such a detailed invitation to tender whilst the parties are still in negotiation on the SABC's option to renew the broadcast rights and ahead of our meeting tomorrow, we have planned a meeting in terms of that timetable. Three, the SABC does not intend to respond to the substantive provisions of the ICT at this stage. Suffice to state that one, the ICT is contrary to the spirit of atmosphere state that the PSL and the SABC have agreed to be bound by. Two, the fact that the PSL has made such a detailed ICT document reveals a ready-made intention to go to the market irrespective of the discussion currently underway, rendering this discussion as merely going through the motions and a waste of time. Three, when we attend our meeting on 1st December 2006, our understanding was that you would need to revert to the SABC with your asking price for the rights and the negotiation. The ICT in the circumstances contradicts the letter and the spirit of our discussion. Four, the SABC does not accept the manner and form of the ICT and reserves its rights accordingly. We reiterate
that the first message is concerned content we are away to the future of the theater evolution offer made in good faith on the podcast right that tomorrow thing. Okay, they respond saying no, you're not entitled to the past and so on. And we also respond again and say we're going to go soon and so on. Okay, this is a letter which I wrote them detailing what we should be discussing at the next meeting. Okay, then they respond in detail to my letter to that one. They reject the suggestion that ICT is compared to the utmost good faith. They are committed to the negotiations. They reject that it produced already made intention to go.
Sorry, when was that letter?
This is 22nd. 22nd of the letter. Yeah, I was telling my.
Because
it's
going to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then, they say they've not done anything wrong, blah, 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 blah. Fine. Then we had a meeting, okay, that's not really that. We then had a meeting, I think, on the 23rd. That's the worst case. So we said, once again, we said to them, look, this thing is simple. We point to that letter, that's the one that says price and package. Yeah, in fact, I think they had forgotten that, like, after 5th of October, where is the expected package, and they said, yes, we can pass. So, point that to the letter, and then there was a deadlock. Okay, anyway, nothing much happened with that day. It was clear that they said, because in fact, said, well, we are not going to move. We think the ICT is the only way we're going to do it. So I said, well, I mean, well, if we're here, we're okay, and we tell you we're not going to move, that's what we're going to do. Anyway, we agreed before we go that look, it looks like we have a dispute on this issue. Let's accept it. We think that the ICC is not the way to start the negotiation. You think it is fine. It's not up to us to resolve it. Let's take that issue. That's the issue for arbitration. Because our argument is for an arbitration clause. That says if there's a dispute, you repair it for the 2 days, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, so then they say, okay, fine, well, if we agree, let's take it to arbitration. So, and then I undertook to detail the terms of the dispute, because we need to adjust everything. Okay, I want to read this word for word. I basically say to them, we met, and we had a dispute. I say, are we to take on that one? Then the officer meeting, it became clear that there was specifically, the PSL and the CDC have particular point of views on the question of whether the negotiations may justifiably be initiated by the issuance of the invitation to tender, such as the one we delivered to the FABC, as contended by the PSL, or whether, as contended by the FABC, there exists a legitimate expression on the part of the CBC and an obligation on the part of the CSL to offer the right package in an acting class. And then secondly, even if your interpretation was correct, you couldn't expect us to put a price to the right until the thirdly, I say we contend that you are in breach of the good faith clause. And then I say, I hope you have sufficiently outlined the nature of the dispute as we undertook, and we hereby confirm that we have now received the necessary money to in terms of collaboration and whatever. Accordingly, we will give ourselves as an invitation to ourselves to meet with us in the central organization. Our first session will be on Friday, the 2nd of March at the CSL offices, at the academic offices, or any other association. Okay. Anyway, so they come back, they say, yeah, we received your letter, we deny that you have an expectation, and or we have an obligation to give you a price, and so on. The PSL and Kyler rejected the safety convention, but we can say to the strategy that we see. As you are aware, under the right country, the negotiation process of the government must end by government. Okay. hanging net on the fence and nothing materialized. So it's a fear of the teaching.
That must
be terrible. Must not be understood. Must remember we've declared the dispute before all comes back and down. So now of you will be interrupted, but depending on the time. Now, okay. Around about the 5th of March, as we are changing this arbitration document, about pledging the water. We then get to know through our own grapevine that we people are actually taking the super short. And that they are just about to conclude the deal. So this deal, if we haven't got to know through our own intelligence, this deal would have been completed as early as March. And then they sent us the ICC.
We've already had an idea, right? To them and say,
This is the letter, the 5th of March now. That's the letter I'll send. I'll say to them, I referred to the 2nd of March where we referred to the Arbitration Foundation and so on. We should take on record that the SAPC will obviously not respond to your invitation to send the outcome of the arbitration proceedings. So you know this is the very question which needs a resolution. And then I say, and this became important in the court cases that came in. In the interim, we require an annotation from yourselves before the close of business, specifically the 6th of March, regarding the following. That you will not come up with negotiations with any third party regarding the broadcast rights in this pending the finalization of the arbitration. And two, that the timeline for negotiation is actually between us in the main agreement shall remain suspended pending the finalization of the document. Should we not receive this undertaking, we reserve our rights to any legal assessment. They came back on the 7th and said, no, we're not giving you the administration. And already we knew that there was a So that's when we then went to court, to say to the court, look, there's an arbitration about this right. These people, we know, are talking to at least one of the competitors. And obviously, they need to be stopped. Okay, they were suing and throwing and issues with joining into the thing. But to cut the long story short, on the 5th of April, the court case came out to the agency. To say to the TSL and other court judgments. To say the TSL cannot go to arbitration on this right and then negotiate with other parties. Oh, by the way, before that happened, the court said to them, can you tell us how many, which people, because when ECB joined, we said, well, we didn't even know about ECB, we just thought they were talking to Supreme Court. Can they tell us who else? And the court ordered them to tell us. And they came in a list of 7 other. parties that they had told, and they had even told the court that they had lost the demand. Anyway, then we get the interdict. And now, the most important thing about the interdict is that the judge said, look, this thing is important because it must be done before the season starts and so on and so on. Therefore, the interdict will expire on the 26th of May. In other words, what the judge was saying, and this was reasonable at the time, he was saying, look, we have now about 6 weeks, in that 6 weeks we'll be able to do the application, and then we know where we stand. Now, a very unfortunate thing that happened, just after that, our senior counsel, Mr. Azar Bam, was appointed as an acting judge. Now, that's something that I've been an acting judge myself before. It's something that you get asked to do as an advocate, and you basically have to do it. It's part of your national service. And you know, you don't earn much money and you're practicing stuff and so on. So it just becomes a vanity in the country. Anyway, so our senior counsel was then appointed. So we had to find a new senior counsel. So all this took some time. Eventually we got advocate Ishmael Kamini, who was also a senior counsel, to then take over the case while after I was the senior counsel. Okay, Kamini
reflect and write again those words from my professional knowledge. The minute he's been a new lawyer, he has his own perspective on politics. He came up with a very good idea where he said, look, I've read this paper. You guys are putting all your heads on to this thing of the contractual agreement of that letter that this party can pass. But you've left us coming to this allegation that these people were not negotiating in good faith, which really is a crack of the contract. Anyway, so if you guys said, okay, he'll amend the paper to put you in the business. The PSL opposed that amendment, and I called them, okay, for what I was giving you the first the second act was the 5th of March, when you recently got the undertaking about not negotiating outcome. The third act of frustration was when they opposed this amendment, knowing that we have raised the issue of good faith all along. And the fourth one was when they said, when we were negotiating, after the argument of the lawyer on the amendment, then they said, no, we're not available. The lawyers are not available until the 28th of May. Now, that might look like an innocent thing. What they were doing was to make sure that by the time we meet again, it will be after the 25th, which is the end of the interview. But there's nothing they really like. No, in court, in the arbitration system, of course, very different. Okay. Yeah, so fine. So we're now waiting for the 28th to argue the amendment. On the 24th, even before the expiry of the thing, they issued ICT again. We received one, and that's what I call the effect of the we then we went to court on an SMP to say the much further application. That matter was removed from the law on the basis of SMP. Technical thing, without going into the merits, the matter should be brought under normal court law and so on. And I think they panicked when we went to court and then they extended. The deadline was originally the 51st, and they moved to the 7th of June. Yeah, 7th of June. According to them now, they say they received 3 bids. We wrote them again and say, obviously, our view is still that we must wait for the application. And then, as Mr. Kikambi said, last Thursday, there was this announcement of a deal, which was the final name, really, and the last, the act of and then, they say, we've told them many times that we do not recognize the ICC process. Hence the challenge is that we do not recognize this CSL Super Sport Agreement because it has its own flaws apart from anything else. And in fact, we continue to act to behave with the Super Sport thing that we have. Even today, we're showing them the league game instead of the old contract. So it's just the Saturday, it's now. And on Saturday, we'll be showing another Bella league game. In terms of the road contract. There's a bit of tension about what's going to happen with the telecom charity card. Because the passport has now called us. He says, well, we now have the right, if you want the telecom card, you can come and buy it and read them. We show them what it is.
Are they giving you for your money from there?
No, now they own the rights. They've now got the rights. So if you want this kind of thing, you know, between us and ETV, and we show them to. Okay, now finally I just want to deal with some of this issue that has been the public interest issue. The first issue I think is this issue, why did you not bid now? I think if you've been listening to the speaker, we explain to them why we would not bid, because the same rights that they're serving next door are being arbitrated in one other one. So that one is clear. Then the other thing that they are selling to the public, they're saying, well, you know, nothing has changed. We've got the right, and we've got this 150 games which will still go to people here. And therefore the SABC and ETV can come and be, and, you know,
from the farm. Now, I'll show you just now that that argument is a fallacy. The simply, as we just said, we don't take into account that SAP is the SAP is an African language radio station, which it is in the country. I can tell you as a joint committee without any contradiction that, and people really get surprised by this statistic. Even in our own numbers, we have more South Africans who rely on the African language radio station for their soccer than people who watch television. Mm-hmm. Far more. You know? So all that now gets forgotten. No, nothing has changed. You can go to ECG or you can go to that. So it's the issue of radio, it's the issue of language, which suddenly gets me like that. So, the issue of employees, that we have hundreds of employees who rely on, who have been doing this work over a number of years and so on, at the technical level and other levels. And all those people will lose their jobs if this happens. So this thing that nothing has changed is sadly, our footprint is much larger than that of TV, even if you forgot the radio thing. Because we have three channels, we have a larger footprint. So even if it was just TV, you would still be excluding San Sebastian, who would only have access to TV for the second company. The capacity, I've already said, the capacity of one channel is just three channels. And then the most important one is that if we were now buying these rights, not from the TFL, but from Supersport, we are obviously buying now in the secondary market, so they're going to be overpriced, so that will still cost the public and the community much more. So that argument that nothing has changed is actually the same. And then the next argument that they say is, well, the TFL has made big money and it will benefit the sport and the clubs and the players and so on and so on. And you've done a calculation, I don't know if you finalize that calculation. But actually, if you look at it, Google will deal with it in marketing. The price per game, because we bought a small number of games, and now the games are almost double that number of games. So if you look at the price per game, the SAPC was actually paying more than what the company was paying under the so-called contract. And I'm leaving over to explain. We haven't even calculated the radio, so that price can cost even more to start like that. So that means the thing that now is going to be in the class is actually, because if they were bringing the same number of skills to us, so probably they take more on the same. And then they say, it's a free market, we're trying to bring in sort of special ideas into the thing. TFL is free to choose whatever. Now we say, even in the so-called free market, you must respect your contract. The whole free market thing is based on respecting your contractual rights. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And then they say, the trends all over the world are that now for us to go to pay TV. Now we say that, when we say which countries are they talking about, so we'll not mention a single country in the developing world that needs to own this. We're talking about the rich countries where people can afford this thing to be doing and so on. And here in the developing world, as in South Africa, the public sphere is still a very important place. And you can't have wholesale privatization of social life. Otherwise, you can sort of privatize everything, hospitals, schools. And the SAPC will not be the first step for that one. This is some way of targeting Supersport, and they said, no, this has nothing to do with Supersport at all. Supersport has been caught in the crossfire. We don't have any sympathy with them because we told them not to get themselves involved in this. But this is, we regard them as an innocent party, and we want to make that clear. And then the last one is, why we call this deal a sham and something that is not necessary. It's because in an interview last week, where they interviewed me and then interviewed Adam Collins, he let it slip that there's what he called an indemnity clause in this deal.
contact of the earth. Now, what that means is a simple thing. It means that the earth will say, here you've got the rice, you'll pay so much, but we'll be chasing into the ABC. If the ABC wins, then you have no rice to do. So, I mean, any lawyer will tell you that the contract that has so many caveats and so on is not just the case of the system. So, I think it's just a gimmick mainly to try and force the price into the public arena so that if we win, then they can force us to pay that. And also, it doesn't matter, I think, in first they have sponsored, which is in September, they will get that process in. So that's where we are, and those are really the issues. I'm sorry I've taken a long time, but that's what I really wanted to map out the sexual issues. And without even putting any weight on any of the stuff at the sexual level, that's what has happened. So we feel that we have been wrong a lot, and the public has been wrong, both at a normal construction level, and also at this level with the public.
Okay. So thank you very much, I think members are very eager to engage. Let's give you a chance to do what they like.
Thanks, Chair. That's only due to some of the facts, so I'll try to speak as possible without confusing figures and so on. I'll do it both persons. One of the key things that Dalit raised there was, I think I want to go to the past contract, and how it was negotiated and see whether the expectations of the SFPC were misinformed. Well, I think one needs to put those in perspective. In the past contract, well, it exactly happened the way we said it should happen. The PSL came to us at the end of that contract, said, here's the package of rights we want to renew, and this is the amount you think we should have for the rights. And then the negotiations began.
When?
It should have been in 2001. It should have been that year before 2001. And none of the members that are currently in TSL negotiating team, five stories, were absent there. It was still the same people. Five stories, I think at that time when it started, we started with Reverend Peterson. I'm going to come back to that issue. So in terms of the sequence, what we're asking is not something that had not happened before. It is as well how it happened before. So it's not that it was outside. And it's something they're not denying either. I mean, so I think I just wanted to deal with that fact. That is how it had happened before. So our expectation that it's going to happen the same was, and as I said to us, look, since that has happened in the past, we are going to change the rules now, then it would have been something different. But one of the key things that has been put in the public domain now and again is how bad the PSL has been treated by the SAPC in the last contract over the last 5 years. And I think one needs to deal with those issues, because if they are not dealt with, that impression remains as a true fact in the public domain. Firstly, when we're negotiating that contract, it took four negotiating teams of the PSL to negotiate the SFC. Four different negotiating teams to negotiate the past contract with the SFC. And each time they walked into the room, it was a different set of package, a different set of money, and a different set of conditions. And each time they came into the table, the SAPC never said, well, the one in my mandated last week came, we are going to hold you to that. In fact, to be fair, if they are going to be fair to everybody, the price they got now was at SAPC's initiation. When it was obviously not going well, what PSL was asking after the SAPC was far lower than we thought they should be asking us. And the conditions they were putting, they were advised by certain parties there. I can say now if I get five by my bosses, then it's fine. I had to phone Ivan and said to Ivan, you guys can't honestly be asking this on your behalf. And I had to meet with Ivan and Kaiser one Sunday morning and said, guys, you cannot come to the SAPC. You cannot afford to run the CSL with this amount of money. You can't be keeping this. If I take this in front of our board, actually our board is going to say, well, what's wrong with you? That if over the other side takes the time. And they had to change that negotiating team for the third time. And then they got...
Sorry. This change of things, when did it happen? In this negotiation?
No, I'm talking about the old one. I'm not giving you the
paper. 2001.
Well, they complained that this contract was bad on their behalf.
Okay.
As if they were being held at ransom with guns on their head by the SEC to sign the contract. And then they changed and then they got the deal they got. Which I think that there's nothing one can say in terms of that. You are held to ransom. First and foremost. So, secondly, they failed to say that at that same time, TSA was in financial trouble. Mm. In that 2001-2000 year. So in financial trouble. The SAPC, we can say it now, the board member is not listening. We bailed them out. We gave them money. Which is not in this contract, they now pay for the first contract. But if it was in this contract, they would have remained in financial trouble for the next 5 years. We had to pay them out without really any tangible things in the camp for the SAPC to sustain and let them pay the club the money to finish the season and for them to start the new season on a clean slate so that they can be sustainable. Well, they were in problem at the time. But they don't put that in the public domain to say, this happened 5 years ago. In fact, all the rights and good products that are talking about, first will not be talking about existing products if the SAP is not paying them out at the time. Well, remember the time, because the time MTN had just pulled out, FNB had just pulled out, so there was still a trouble, so the SAP had to come into the bridge. In fact, for them to start the season, the SAPC had to underwrite the AFCA Cup, if you remember well. We had to, the SAPC to say to them, start the season. If we don't get a sponsor, we will, as SAPC, underwrite you for the AFCA Cup. Those things are not being put in the public domain today. For them to get AFCA as the current sponsor, it was SAPC that brought AFCA to them. SAPC had to sweeten the deal for AFCA and give AFCA free airtime and all those issues. For them, this had pulled out, for them to get FAA, the SAPC had to give FAA free airtime for FAA to sign onto the dotted line. For Coca-Cola Cup, no differently. So all the issues that are raising today is the SAPC never really was helping to build the product of football. I'm just saying that for the facts, those are facts, which are undisputed, I'm sure they will not dispute it themselves. Now let's go to the issue of the number of games that the TCO talked about. One of the issues they raised last week was that the SAPC in any way can only do 75 games. This new deal, if it goes to ETV, I think, it will put the TV license holders in a better position where they'll get more games. That's probably not correct, as they want the public to believe, because in our contract with them, which is the 5-year contract, the SAPC, as per the PFS, we're limited on the number of games you can go live. I'll read you the one last one first, and you'll find that in the set of the matches set out in clause 1.1.9.1, which is the Premier League, which is known as the Castle League, the SAPC can at least control a minimum of 36 matches, subject to a maximum of 52 matches. You can go on the rest. After half, there's a maximum of 15, the other a maximum of 3. Now, here we're being portrayed as if we were not prepared to do more games. Actually, the PSL itself refused us to do more games. I'm going to come back to the reason for that refusal now. They refused us to do more games. In the current contract they've done now, this new one that we've been the damage was for, they have not limited to that amount. Mm. In fact, I think it's 100 games they can do on free-to-air, 100 games they can show on pay, etc., etc., etc. So this notion that says, well, the SAPC could not do more, as if it was SAPC's own selection not to do more games, is actually an untruth. And the reason was very simple at that time. In fact, it's enshrined in the contract, but I will not bore you with the details. They were concerned about two things. And I'll raise the third one, which we should have said. They said, currently in South Africa at that time, there is just too much overexposure of football. Because that was the argument. Football is too exposed on television. You don't get anywhere else in the market. You don't get this in the England Bank. Even Sky has got the limit of what they could do to the British public and so on and so forth. There's too much overexposure. We can't allow you. Well, if you allow you, then people don't go to the games to the stadium to watch the games. So that was the reason for them to limit us as a first reason. The second reason was the issue of which was overexposure. The second reason was that people won't go to the stadium to watch the games. In fact, the third request they requested was that in the city where the game is being held, we must actually black out showing of the game on television or radio in that city. We should refuse. We said, we've got a public mandate, we can agree on this, but this one you are pushing it too much on your behalf. So that was set aside. So that's a fact. That is in there. That's why we limit that. In the MOU that we had with them, well, I think we need to deal with the issue of super sports. Even then, well, this issue of the relationship between PSA and super sports is not new. In the memorandum of agreement that was written with them before we signed the contract, they obliged us, it reads, the SAPC will enter into negotiation, not may enter, will enter into negotiation with super sports with regard to the sub-licensing of middle games. So even 5 years ago, we were obliged at that point to sub-license super sports. And if you then read this clause, which is the third reason that I'm going to come back to, we're limited to a maximum of 52 matches. We bought 110 matches, but as the SAPC should, we're limited to 52 to create a space for us to sub-license to super sports. Because you must remember the year before, because 2018, they had sub-licensed super sports in 15 games. So now they were creating this obligation on the SAPC. So that's the fact around this issue of the number of games. To say, it is not true that it is SAPC's selection that we only did 75. I'm going to come back. First of all, it's not even 75. So that figure is not even correct. We did 126 games. So I'm not even going to deal with that fact of the specified incorrectness. But the impression being given was that we had an opportunity to do as much as we want. We selected not to. It's not that the SAPC selected not to. It was limited to contract. We value contract, so we fix the contract. That's what we're limited to have. Let me just finish this issue of super sports, if you allow me to share so that I can deal with it and finish it. When we asked why you guys had a relationship between the two of you the year before, why is it now that we are obligating them to come to us? Besides that, you're saying we insist to the gatekeeper. It was obvious that they were not seeing eye to eye. So remember that time they were fighting about SuperSport having bought the Premier League, showing a lot of it in South Africa. So he said, fine, I understand the fact. They went to SuperSport. SuperSport's anger was very simple. You know what SSBC? We're doing this thing just to make the position pay. Our interest is Rugby and the Premier League. But if we're not seeing to do local football, British Premier League, if we're not seeing to do local football, we're going to be in trouble. Doesn't tell us one single decoder. So please, we don't want the headache of dealing with the local administration of football. We're happy to sub-license to you. The minimum number of games you can get so that everyone is happy. Give us Wednesday, and they paid us the minimum amount of money that they paid us for that sub-license. And if, in fact, if you look at it, FAC for 5 years of success, super sport, if you look at game cost in that contract.
I don't want people to start getting at 12 before actually the sanction.
No, I'm finishing.
So if you can just back up for
2 minutes.
Sure.
Yeah, 2 minutes. So that's one fact. Here are the three other facts that are critical in this regard. The second issue is about the issue that Dalia talked about on the cost per game. I will just say it's like someone saying, you want to go and buy, there's a showroom of cars, 20 cars. You say, I'm coming to buy a car. He says, you can only buy one car. And you buy it for 200,000. The other guy comes in and says, I want to buy cars. Well, you can buy all 18. Then he goes to the public and says, that guy gave me a bad deal, he only paid me 200,000. This one gave me a good deal, he paid me 3 million rand. Of course, he sold one car to the other guy, and he sold the other guy 18 cars. And in terms of this, you can see, we're only allowed to buy 101 games. In terms of this new deal, SuperSport has bought 286 games. So in terms of quantum, we are dealing with two different quantums. So the only way you can deal with it is to go ahead and look at what is the cost again? How much did each car cost when it went out of the showroom? Well, that would be the only fair mechanism. In terms of the figures that we have, I have to put that up front in terms of our intelligence. They may be wrong, they may be right, we are not sure. Well, that contract is not in the public domain yet. The SABC paid, in this last year, we paid close to 450,000 rand per game. In our calculation based on the 486 games, at what we think our best intelligence tells us at 200 million rand in the first year, SuperSport is paying 411,000 rand per game. I leave it to you to say. You can work it out. They can give us 300,000. They can give us whatever figure. Let's compare game to game and see where there's been a substantial increase. From the last contract to this new contract, from if you take that last contract of 2000 to 2001, the increase the SABC gave to PSL was 36%, which at that point was even above market international. The market at that point was going about 27%. So even if you go past 300,000 at the beginning of this contract, I would reckon that at best the increase that they've given them was about 5 to 10% based on those 186 games. So I think that is another fact that needs to be taken into consideration. Is this a real increase or is it just a quantum because the number of games have changed from what can be bought? The third point is around the production values and quality of products. Safe to say that when we signed this contract, when we wanted to sign this contract with obligation on both parties, what are the minimum quality products that PSL expects from SAPC and what would be the minimum facilities they must provide us? PSL said to us, no, we cannot write that into contract. Our clubs are not yet ready to get into that fold. We gave them a time of 11 million rand for free every year. For them to promote PSL, for them to give each club a time to build each club brand so that out of that they can raise more sponsors of clubs. That money has never been utilized by the clubs in the 5 years of this contract. Lastly, I will not give you the share. There's a lot I could have raised. No, the last one, just on the current contract that was announced last week. Here's what has been made to believe the public and parliament. That on the 7th at 5 o'clock, the ICC was closed at the end of dinner on the 7th. Within 7 days, including 2 weekends, the PSL wants us to believe that their people evaluated the pre-tender fairly and squarely. After evaluating the contract, they then met the SuperSport. I will come back whether that was a fact. They met the SuperSport, negotiated the contract that on the 14th, 7 days after the contract that was signed. That would be the fastest tender evaluation I've ever had of this magnitude. But the board only met for the first time on the 14th.
After the tender has been concluded, the board
meeting. No, the first time ever since the 7th, where the evaluation team was supposed to go back and report to the board and say, this is our recommended bidder, was on the 14th. So they met every time on the 14th. So I will give them that between the time the evaluation team gave them that, then a contract was concluded with SuperSport.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's what I'm made to believe. Because a contract was agreed, process and find on process. Thank you, sir.
No, sir, thank you very much. Let me not even attempt to take any advice, so far. Let me check if there are any suggestions. Welcome, Mama Sari, and please call us now. When do we start? Welcome. The Zeni Masango, Gula,
and thanks, sir. Just to show my allegiance, I signed my TV license, and that was the right thing to do.
put you in the particular club that was exclusively and quality and thus all of us. Secondly, I think it is a bad, it was a good move to get Guzzo into Team SABC. He has grown tremendously, and you can see how difficult character there. And I hope he doesn't leave us soon. No, because we have this kind of thing, we might find like the soccer, somebody else, there's talent, let's go and grab him. The fact is, might be right. You know, we don't want that to happen. Chairman, I think what comes up, and I first want to thank SABC, it was the first time we heard about it, it was on SABC News. And I must admit, the group CEO didn't look impressed, but he was agitated when he said, we just starting now. But was, you know, normally you wouldn't want to give that kind of coverage, but I think it's just quality, I would say. Even if we didn't get it, we were still sold on our news. So for me, that is the quality of the SABC that came through. I think what we have here, and I do put in the SABC, particularly having to deal with the LOC, you know, for the same people that you can't trust, because there seems to be a big break of trust. Not so much. Whether if it went through normal, honest, sincere negotiations, in the super sport, it would be okay. But here you find people literally working behind your back. So how do you trust them? Would they change necessary in terms of character when they deal with 2010? If you can't trust them with a loved one? How do you go with, how do you say to them good morning? And unfortunately the same people. Maybe that's one of the reasons why people say we want government to be the silent and undertakers and that all of it, because you cannot trust these people. So it was rather commendable, and I think here we have a great break of trust. And even when you go back, even if the court should rule in your favor, that thing can't just disappear. It will linger, it will hang like a verbal sword over your head. Yeah, when this man says good morning, is it really good morning or is it in the afternoon? And I just hope and pray for the best chairperson. Lastly, I think somebody said that they had a relationship, it's true. SuperSport does have a relationship with PSL. And I think it's about jacking up the administration that is seriously lacking. You know, through theater, putting them through admin courses at WITS and other universities, all of that. Because here you have literally a fish and chip shop owner, with all respect, it's a small club set up, and you have to run a multi-billion rand industry. You can't compare the two, and they seem to be lacking in that. But the quality of the person, of persons that we have to deal with, leaves much to be desired. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Romasan.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think it's good to say thanks to the SABC that we got information as early as possible. But Chairperson, I think it would be very also nice to get the other side of the story, so that we know what they are saying.
Let me just clear that. You're right, but as far as we are concerned, Parliament and as these two committees, our first obligation is on our own public broadcaster in terms of the law. And whether we're not having anything to have with SuperSport, we'll call them, we'll call even the PSL. But I do not think it was up to us to glorify them. First line of march to do where these people are coming to Parliament and find out what is there that needs the people to be in a state of faith. So that is what we represent. But I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I would never glorify neither PSL nor SuperSport at the expense of our own party and public broadcast.
No, Chairperson, I agree with you. We have nothing to do with SuperSport, but PSL, I think they should explain to us. But Chairperson, my worry is not about all this number of games and the other things. The biggest problem with me is accessibility to the SuperSport. Very few, even myself, I'm a more advanced state person, but I don't have a SuperSport. I'm using the SABC now. So a lot of people are going to miss totally out. And the timing again is not right, because we want to get that vibe for the 2010. But if we don't get that vibe in the SABC, then the whole 2010 is going to be nothing to most of our people. But the question I want to ask from the SABC is, you are talking about arbitration. I just want to make sure with you, when you talk about the dispute, is this the dispute covering the renewal of your contract? And the other thing that I read on the Sunday news, Mr. Kosa said that professional sport in South Africa is undermined. He wants to pick up his salary to the staff and all those things. If it is what he said, but I already said so. Now the question is, should, say, as you say, you're still going to negotiate and you want to do this thing. Is SABC prepared to match the amount that SuperSport is saying, I'll give you? Something that I want to get off. And the other thing is that, should there be a way forward, what would be the best way to go to the report?
I think that you noticed that you take a second round, then you just finish the round. Our Bula Mama Makosi, I mean, the right.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in terms of the right to public access to football, it is a profound duty of the public service sector. South Africa is a soccer loving people. And the majority is made out of predominant blacks. Let us not forget, Che, that majority also lives on a salary at the 800 rand bracket. And now to go and accept and pay for broadcast is an added burden to poverty. Chairperson, the 2010 is a South African initiative. And people in South Africa must have access to watching these things. You know, the A1 motor racing took place in Germany, and it was an international event. And it was an overwhelming success. It is a sad day for South African sports. Should the SABC lose this brand? You know, I've made some comparisons here, and I always spoke out that the inequalities and injustices of the past need to be addressed. And as long as our people don't have access to watch these matches, all the issues that we have debated in the book will go into. Also, we must not forget, Chair, that we said, repeatedly we said in the portfolio committee, that this will have immense access to small business. And in this way, Chair, it's never going to happen. But Chair, that's not so much for sport and the love for the sport and how we want to see the majority of our people have access. But in view of what we hear, and the information that we hear, Chair, is quite a bit to digest. But what I would like to know is, first and foremost, is in terms of the interpretation of the good faith clause, what is the legal opinion behind that? And Chair, you could see, secondly, that in terms of the court ruling with the interdict for SABC, there was deliberate staggering. What impact will that have on the SABC too? And thirdly, Chair, the reintroduction of the ICC. The reintroduction of the ICC. Sell an area of weakness and shadow. Lastly, Chair, I want to know that in terms of the matching rights, after the process of the second introduction of the ICC, wasn't it incumbent upon TSL to come back in terms of the matching? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Some of the things that you can already spoken, but my colleagues just went through my shoes. But still, I wanted to add, as to say, in this regard, we checked the size of the SEC and we really appreciate. I believe that SEC is for the people. And if TSL is the same, I still believe that something can be done for the people. You sing a season who to a Mabula in Kuns, Kulimalitan, from Baba. So I think in this regard, the poor people on the ground are really going to be badly hurted through this. And one other thing that one picked up is better of the too much exposure of the football. That one really maybe I don't know how to sort of no, I don't know how to describe it, but you see, football is one place where you unite the people of South Africa and the entire sport in this regard. But no, we all know that when you talk of football, you talk of the previously disadvantaged people and more particularly the poor. That means now, by so doing, we are depriving the poor people. I think FADC, we should be patient enough to go back after all this, to go back and see, because my interest is on the application to say, if the application is still there, let's keep telling that this nothing is happening. In the interest of the people, yes, in the interest of the people, and discuss this matter. Because what we were worried about, we thought that FADC has failed maybe too much. If you haven't even reached that stage, I think it's high time that you go back for the negotiation. I don't want to say much about PSA, because we haven't spoken to them, but according to what we've heard from you, I think that's how one can contribute.
Thank you very much. Not so in the
right. I won't be long. You see, the obvious route for your campus taking is still a legal challenge. You challenge that particular contract signed by Super Sports and Vietnam. But you know, let's go much deeper than just that. The problem lies with those people you mentioned who are running the league. That is where the root of this problem is. I can just tell you that on Saturday there was a virtual youth commission rally in Chetamal Bay. Of course, the other people came to me asking those very questions. You know, it was racial access to for ordinary people to either watch or listen to games that we're taking away from them. But I'm coming back to the point I made earlier. You know why those people are there in those positions? Soccer is not their interest. Is what they can put in their pocket. Yeah. That is at the interest that they have. And the issue of further negotiators, on what terms are you going to communicate with the people of that kind? So I just want to make that particular comment. No use. Just go take the legal route, and then we must take other measures to remove those people from our potential.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm very unfortunate because I came last in the school and I had to be placed last.
No, I'm still going to sleep my story another last
time. Yeah. I want to see everyone in a senior citizen this 2007 because of the 7 and the 8 is very, very unlike so many things that they can do. I don't know why I want to say you know, I don't read some of the things that I read for me. I'm not very about the information from the social activities. But I do know what and part of the public also, I think I do this what you want to do. Some of the things have been mentioned by my sister and other people, because one of the things I was going to say here is that I can information chain from the other party. They've already addressed it. The information that has been kept from the public domain here is unbelievable. You know, because already people expect SSC is a public broadcaster. And they can't believe the flag out really. I don't know what to say. I know some of the people have been meeting. I had high regard for them. I don't want to speak from a personal view. Why should they have a group? And it's so obvious, you know, the figure that has been given. The bottom line is that I think something was done to talk about the way forward legally. I believe we are right. That's why I'm saying this 2000, it's not just an advantage of I don't think the family is that thing, because why does it happen now? When does this change? That's the other thing you should ask yourself. If there were underlying factors, you know, that have moved in, why did this explode like this? I think if just to catch this, to catch all this, I think we should hasten this deficit. Yeah, and take drastic action legally and people should be brought to
book. Thank you very much. You know, the chair is started with that there is no second round.
Yeah.
So I must finish those two.
Yes.
Yeah, after you, then the taking the thought to sit back.
I could hear them.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think these joint committees after this must issue a statement. And in that statement, the issues which have been raised here, more especially this 11 million airtime and all those things, must be highlighted so that the people can understand. You know, I'm not sure this was on SAFM a lot of days. One person was asking, I don't know if it when Jari was there, not sure, that, or was saying rather, this billion of super sport will make the PSL to be in a position to pay the players more money. And the pillars of SABC can't allow them. Now, with this information, and what this person did not mention is that I've never heard that there is a minimum wage for the soccer players. Because you go sorry, to this club, this one is getting 2,000, that one is getting 10,000, what have you. And I think those things are being decided by the owners of the club. So there is no standard. So I think that some of these things, that first statement, will highlight and will empower people to understand the situation and the unfaithfulness of PSL. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a comment. You know, it seems as if when we are dealing with PSL, we are dealing with people who are not on the ground, who doesn't understand the interest of the citizens of South Africa. I just want to refer to, in 2005, December, when SABC was launched in Shooting Star, I'm from the Northwest, you know, that brings those people, because we have villages like Masibudule, Stilford Fontaine, where people didn't have access to media. You know, that thing means a lot to them, because we used to have Bob TV, which they didn't have access to. We used to have Radio Sunshine, which they didn't have access to. But with the launch of the SABC in that area, you know, people that put soccer as the only form of entertainment. So it's clear that we are dealing with people who don't have the interest of the South Africans at heart, who are just interested in their personal interests, commercial, so long as they can make money. But, you know, I just wish that one day we should take these people. You know, just say they should go to Masibudule, they should go to these villages and tell them that we are going to go to Supertalk. You know, interview people, and maybe they should feel it personally. How does it feel not to have access, not even to can listen to a match over the radio, not watching it on TV, but just listening on the radio. Maybe, you know, it's like we're dealing with people who are very difficult, who don't have the interest of South Africans at heart. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'll give to the SABC to respond and the chair to close. I think it's very much. Yesterday in our portfolio committee meeting, with communication, this letter was also raised. But we were also mindful of the time, because that was our last formal meeting for the quarter, to say that we will have to make some time. Let's allow the situation to go, because, as I say, we didn't know what intervention to do. Let's allow the situation to the SABC, the legal space, and the public to make themselves known on this matter. And when we come back, to get a report back from the SABC on this matter as well. So that meeting is pending. You see, we also see that we don't have all the members here, because they did not know that we have a meeting of them. So I'm just also appealing that we have to find some space. If there is an urgent meeting that we want to call during the research, we must do that. If it's your talk, I'll talk to you first. Then we should also just do that properly. But this information is quite valuable. I think the SABC must summarize your facts. To say these are the issues, the six methods that you have mentioned here are very critical and key, you see, to the South African public. And I think you got the airtime. Let's try and do that. But yes, truly, we got to talk to the chair here to see how we take the project forward. But it's really the worrying thing.
Thank you. For the chair, I'll just do a brief overview and then hand over to Dali. I can tell you right now, when you do meet the PSL, they're going to tell you what they try to tell me when they met me on Monday night. They're going to tell you that they did everything in their power to speak to the SABC, gave the SABC the opportunity to make an offer. That's the way they put it. They said, no, we kept saying to the SABC, you make your offer and then we can talk. And of course, our position is they say, offer about what? You know, we don't even know what we're talking about, how many games, you know, the whole issue that you've heard. So you will get that from them. They'll give you dates. Dali went through, starting from 16th of October, day by day, the correspondence that they exchange. And they will accuse the SABC of deliberately delaying responses and so on. But you've got our silence, and when you hear the silence, you can make up your mind as to, you know, who is playing the kind of game where good faith was not an issue. And to you, taking all that aside, the way forward is a very, for me, certainly, as a member of the board, and I've expressed this view, which is not foreign to Charlie and to me, is that there is a very simple way forward. There is a legal issue, which I believe can go along with the fight, but honestly, personally, as a South African now, as somebody who's been involved in football all my life, part of the overall struggle in this country, to me, the way forward is a very simple one. The parties must get on the table,
stupid pot has got nothing to do with it. This is not a super pot. This is a story of the South African people. Right? Our people, the majority of 45 million people. We need to sit around the table and we need to engage the PSL and you know, now we now know. For us now we can negotiate because we know what kind of what they've offered and what they're getting paid. So it's very easy for us to say, yes, we will match it. Or we won't even better it. But up till now that was kept away from us. And I think the reasons are obvious to you. So that's the way forward. Is that somebody has to get both the parties together around the table to say, like, the KBC, this is what PSL wants. Are you guys prepared to match it? Are you prepared to offer it in better? Or what are you prepared to do on the table? Once that has been done, if the FADC then can't satisfy PSL and the PSL then proceed with our system, we won't be able to crack off. I think that's my summation of the issue.
Thank you very much. I think that's a very good one. And while you are talking about that, let me just say, you will see when we get the full consultation that throughout the negotiation, look, when we're negotiating, you know, you take all the something. But ultimately, it will come to the table. That's me. You know, I remember one time, well, just before the judgment, I think I was here in Cape Town for the judge session. I had to rush back on the Sunday to meet with them. Listen, we didn't get an assessment. Let's not go through this conversation. Here's the settlement offer. I don't believe it. We in the material that we're entitled to. Let's repeat the question. We accepted a 2 weeks in the budget, 2 weeks to go to the market, 2 weeks in that, and that's it. So I flew down and left whatever I was doing here, and we went to meet with them, and they just took the thing and took it right. As you said, and the research, and it's, you know, you just don't know what more to do, because now it's obviously, you know, there's other processes happening behind the door, however much you're selling. So we are willing and able to meet with them anytime, tomorrow, if we have to, we will meet with them. But we don't want to just go through the motion. We want people who are going to come genuinely to try and find a solution and try and work with them. But, okay, I will not deal with all the issues that you're raising, but let's pick up maybe a few issues. The issue of accessibility, I think, everyone has spoken about it, and really that's at the core of it. Because there are people who, well, not in our lifetime, at least, will never have access to this issue. And as we have demonstrated, there are people who rely on the radio, on it, even if they the issue of 2010, really, it's a shame that something like this should happen. You know, while it's a flat and here, well, those kinds of issues, I think, I think the slammer there will talk about the issue of the reintroduction of the ICC. That's a very central issue. If you introduce an ICC and the judge says to you, no, it's wrong, don't do it, why do you take advantage of merely the fact that there's a particular date? Because if it is wrong in March, it must be wrong to do it in May, you know, and it shouldn't have to help already. The issue of the poor and special cohesion, I think, is obviously at the core of it. And I agree with the sentiment that while we pursue the legal thing, surely there are other means at the political level that must be explored. And I think that's the opportunity to answer that question. I can only confirm, I come from the rural area. I think that I know that where I come from, I'm not a single person that's got access to the CSTV in my village.
if ever the family is still there as your first one, so I mean, these are real issues to some extent. And we can't speak about the future. We cannot allow it. We talk about universal service, which is a goal which we have not achieved as a country. So we can't say now, even though we are already have action, but now it must be taken away. That means we are moving backwards. Instead of trying to say, okay, maybe we have 10% of production, we don't have access, let's see how we can say. Now we're saying, no, let's see how we move backwards and reduce the, even the access of those who have it. I mean, what kind of country are we building if we don't allow that? And the final point I want to make is that, no, there are broader issues here. If we're going to allow our lives as South Africans to be ruled by one thing on the profit and money, then we might as well forget about we must really just close shop. Because that profit motive will only lead to one thing. You will only have access if you have money in your pocket. The poor must go physically. And we can't be doing it as a society as well. We can't. The space for private enterprise and people to make money and so on. But there must be a space for the public sphere which cannot be taxed by this profit motive. Thank you very much.
Specific question. Yeah. One is related to the best good
oh, yes.
What that means, and secondly, the arbitration, whether it's continuing, and whether that was an additional charge. The second one was about the matching question, whether the SABC is equal to the task. Yeah. I mean, that was very tough.
Let me start with the arbitration. Yes, the arbitration is continuing exactly where we were meeting yesterday. We don't know when it's actually going to happen. So the last day we expect the people to say, oh, we're only available in November, you know, according to the government. Yeah. So that would be the problem. As far as the mention, well, we've been asked this question. We don't want to answer that question. Firstly, because we don't want to negotiate with the airways. Because as I was saying, we haven't even got to the stage of matching. Well, we have three stages, matching is step three. Stage one is not even being done. But I think this being parliament, I can disclose that the figures that have been mentioned are not striking us. So, and this notion that it centers around that the SEPC cannot afford the right, it's not true. Then if we are prepared, and I want to say this, and that we are prepared to pay fair value to the brand, fair market value. We don't want any favors, we don't want any special dispensation, but we're not going to overpay just to line up other situations. So that's it. And therefore, when the stage comes for matching and all that, cost us is going to come to it. The good faith clause, actually, no lawyer tries to put on the thing in fancy language. It's actually what it means. It's nothing in fancy. It's a question of, are you coming to, when we say I'm negotiating with you, do you have another agenda? It's as simple as all that. Because this issue, as I said, when I was showing you all this stuff, it's even a charge, you have to ask, are these people serious? Why do you say one day, yes, I will give you a question, but tomorrow you say, no, I'm not even going to. The very question you ask, if you've been told that something is not, because you can't do this ICT, and you can't do the ICT while there's an application. Why do you do it 2 weeks later? There's still an application, and you still do the ICT. Can you say this is an honest person who wants to find a solution? And I think, the funny thing about the good faith thing is that as soon as we say we're introducing this element of the good faith so that the arbitrator can look at it,
They still brought lawyers, some of them were brought from Cape Town and so on. So if you are in good faith, why do you want to, why are you saying we should not be exploited? Why do you want to fight so much? But if you are in good faith, you say, yeah, fine, examine it. I'm clean.
Yeah, but lawyers must also work, ne?
I know. But still, I mean, it's just it's common sense. You can see somebody doing something in good faith or they have other motives. So I think that's part of the program now. Now that the good faith thing is to be in the mix, people are now trying to find all sorts of ways to talk about it. I think I've covered the...
Yeah.
No, good faith and machine rights are part of the competition. So, you can't
ask for it.
That's one thing
that
this connection that you're making now. Yes, I mean, let's assume now they were all in good faith. Then it means within last week, whether or not in this situation, they should have come back and say, okay, we've got this thing, we've got
That's one thing that I said that yourself will cover it easily. That even let's assume then they will argue that the public interest is declared. That the game may be on ECB that they free to air the public assets and trade. The reality is that even with ECB, 20% at least of people are currently seeing those games on SAPC one season. That's close to 2 to 3 million people. What that will not be able to see football. And I mean, definitely, if you take radio out, that's even the people who are using TV now to access local football.
Let alone the millions
that are on radio that will be left out. Even those that are currently watching. Let's assume that whenever they're giving ECB, there will be 20% of people currently watching football which will be left out.
I know it's a kind of ECB, it's a company.
One thing that they seem to be forgetting everything. There's a clause in the ECA that guides us that talks about sports of national interest. It won't be offered or given to a patron exclusively. In this particular case, at the time the spirit was written in such a way. So PFL will say, basically the two that will send us, so it will be SABC and Super Sport at the time. They will then look at it and say, look, they give 60% and 40% all of us. There's no such thing of a sub-licensing just all of us. That one is a crucial one. That is, nothing will be given exclusively to the faith set of sports of national interest. And it goes about, if you look at the firm on that, how you arrive at that particular benefit of school, the 2 minutes, comes in and just all of us. That is a crucial one we need to look at. That even against all of that, can't be exclusively.
I know exactly. I think we need more time. But you set a time for ourselves, and I think you also want to say something. So after giving to the chair of sports, then there won't be anybody else. Let me give
a quick one. I think that's what I agree with that, particularly from the point of view of your community. You know, when all these crises happen, we must look at what's going to happen. And I think one of the key things we can achieve is to revisit this issue of sports of national interest. Because that clause is there in the legislation, but really, nobody has involved properly. Let's look at it robustly, let's look at the regulation, where are the loopholes? Because looking at this case now, rugby is let down. Well, how is that possible when we have legislation on sports? So whatever happens with this thing, I think that let's make sure we don't get caught in the same kind of thing next year.
So from where I am, I'm convinced we should put that. This is not a compromise.
Yeah.
The stakes are high. There is money involved here. And there were questions about what's going to happen, what is the impact on the SAPC. You raise the question of people whose jobs rely on some of the methods of response that might also lose their jobs. The question of how you're going to buy more expensive if it's privatized like it happens. So the issues are very, the stakes are very high.
Thank you very much.
communication.
Where was this concept then?
But I want to say to this. I appreciate and thank you to both committees that the team, particularly Mastori and the commissioner and the before I could say what I want to say, I want to say I have discussed this matter with Mbozo in the West Indies. But I was very clear, and he was also very clear, that the chair will pay a fair value. But because he has a respect, and he tries to be this gentleman that you know is Mbozo. And I said to Mbozo, you must pay a fair value. But you must never enrich a person or people at the expense of the people in the country. This whole saga is drifting to what we have perceived as a person or some people want to get rich quick at all costs, at the expense of the people. President says you can't have what you call get rich quick, but we see it happening now. It's still happening now, and we can't just say everything is fine and that must solve that. But the most important thing, the president, I was listening to the radio, even Mambi came and informed me yesterday. So president said he's urging these parties to go to the negotiating table. The president of the country. And then the minister issued out the statement and say, we're asking and pleading for these two parties to go to the negotiating table. Up until today, and these pleadings that are made by the leaders of this country, and they have not been adhered to. They have not been adhered to. We don't know what is the agenda. But as members of parliament in both committees, our responsibility is to be biased to the poor. And we will not allow this kind of a situation to go unattended. And the saying to them, you must do anything that you want to do, but definitely you must know that the political support of the people of this country and this parliament, they support you because it's for the interest of the people of this country. I think that is very important to say. But you must go and negotiate with these people. But you must go there and negotiate, know that the plight of the masses of the people who are downtrodden have been highlighted in this meeting, and it will be concernable. Other thing, not any other union in this country will allow their workers just to be guillotined because of the motive of money. Profit, no good. You can imagine how many people are going to be stagnant and lose their jobs in the SADC just because of greed. I call it greed. Because if you want to take the whole cake and then you don't want to share with other people, then that is amounting to greed. And it can't be committed. It cannot be what all of us have to keep quiet about it and say, no, everything is going very well. But there are three most important things that I've listened when people are talking on the TV, which I want to agree to this. But a very important, and what is needed in this saga is an investigation. We agree that there should be an investigation on this. Because there are things that people have raised in that radio, which Mama Sam was talking about. The people allege that there was a conflict of interest between Ivan Khosa and the SADC, because whether he has declared it, another thing, we are here to know that he has declared his interest as a multi-choice person when he was negotiating with SADC for the SADC to go where he is. That we still have to find out whether that has been the case. The other thing, that somebody knows when the TSL was with us through the other day. We asked them about the role of the SADC. One question that I can't forget was raised by Masam. Masam says, one of the work that the CEO of the company should do is to raise funds for the company. But the TSM has a clause there of the 10% of any person who raised a convert must get the 10%. You know what does that mean? It means Kavakinis or any other person who has managed to acquire this 1 billion sponsor has 500 million in his hand. And you can't convince me that people cannot work anything and die for it when there is so much at stake. Nobody can say to anybody that is not the case. Because we know for the fact, all of us in sports, you know, there's a clause there that says, Mastori, if you acquire a sponsor, you are entitled to a 10%. So anybody who does everything that he wants to acquire that because it's a get-rich-quick scheme. And you can't have that. You can't have that at the expense of the people of this country. It's wrong. It's wrong. The other thing that was said in that case, that we are saying should be investigated. SuperSport football team was part of the negotiations when SADC was talking with it. What was their interest there? Is there no conflict of interest in that situation? You can't call any person who has a certain interest and quickly a matter is decided in that way. Because when SuperSport football is there, when other people are there with conflict of interest and any other thing, and ultimately a decision is made in this way, any other person, even if you go to other schools, you will know that there is a problem going on there. And we are urging that we will quickly take this decision to the minister and communicate that there should be a proper investigation on these three things because we feel that something practically wrong that has happened there. But we are saying, go to them. Listen to what the president said. Listen to what the minister said. Listen to what everybody said here now. Saying, please go back to the negotiating table and negotiate. But when you negotiate there, the interests of the people of South Africa come first. It's not about what you get and all other things. It's about the interests of the people of this country. And then the last thing, we are going to call the TSL and the SADC as soon as we get chance. So that we have the time and meet with them and all that. But I appreciate the chairperson of the communication. So that we must not hear these stories around on the air and then you can't. When you arrive at home, people are asking you, we are not in a position to talk about it. When they asked us last week about this, we're not in a position to articulate exactly these views that Mbuzo and Dali are giving us today. But today now we're able to go even in the house there and talk to people and say, it is bigger than what you think it is outside today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. And for you and Chair, for ensuring that this meeting takes place. Thank you very much. And members, for coming to the meeting as well. We thank you. I'm sure that there is food outside.
Of course.
So, I think let me adjourn this meeting and see what we'll do as we go forward. Some of you will be here at the policy conference of the ANC. Some will see next quarter when we come back.
Dr. Buddha, you can have some of the I want to look at